In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, even with the frog in my throat, doing the best I can. Father, pour out the Holy Spirit upon us today, that we may hear your word, and that that word would cut in our heart the blessed hope that we are called to, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue to celebrate the days of Christmas. It's still Christmas, and we celebrate the newborn King who came to save the world. Jesus is the Savior of the world, not only the Savior of the church. Jesus is the Savior of the whole world, and only drowning men and women see Jesus. Only people that are in trouble realize that they are in need of a Savior. And today I'm telling you, there is only one Savior, and it's not me. Once I tried to be a Savior to this person. I didn't even realize I was their Savior. And what happened is that I had to completely cut my relationship off with her, because I was her Savior, and I can't be anyone's Savior. And we have to remember what John 1:20 says. What's John 1:20? I am not the Messiah. That's what John the Baptist said. I am not the Messiah. There is only one Savior. There is only one Messiah, and his name is Jesus, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of God, and Jesus the Son of Mary. Maybe you've been trying to be somebody's Savior. It's one of our sins that we do, and you're doing the best you can. You can't save your children. You can't save you. You can pray for them. You can love them, but you can't save them. And that's just the way it is. I'm looking at John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world, like money, fame, fortune. I'm telling you, money. One way to tell people, and tell the Lord, I should say, that money is not anything to me, is that I tithe my money and I give gifts beside that. That money is, you know, what I'm using for the kingdom. It's used for the kingdom of God. We tithe our money that we receive from in season and out of season. 10% goes out. It's not our money. It's the Lord's money. And if we need to tithe more, we do. So one way not to love money is to tithe. Catholics have not been taught how to tithe their money. People say, how do you do that? I tell you, I have to do that, because if I didn't, it would all dry up, because that's faith. It's faith to give away the tithe, the first fruits of what we receive. And I'm telling you, it always pays. We've been on the radio since 1974, and God has made a way. We're not only on in Boston, we're on in St. Louis, Washington, D.C., Phoenix, Arizona, New Jersey. We're on in Albuquerque. We're on in partly in Florida. I tell you, we have faithfully tithed our money, and that's the way it is. We've given it to the Lord because the Lord wants the first fruits. That's one way that you don't love the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world and the world's ways, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, you can be absolutely poor and still love the world. You know you're going to hit that mega bucks, pretty soon because you're this and you're that, and I'm going to keep on trying. I'm telling you, you're not going to hit the mega bucks. Don't even bother to buy a ticket. I remember when I was in the Hilltop one day, I was having a discouraging day, and I saw the counter, and they were selling these tickets, and I said, I'm going to buy a ticket today. And I heard the Lord say, if you provide for yourself, I will not provide for you. I walked right by that counter. I bought no ticket. If you provide for yourself, I will not provide for you. That's what the Lord said. Clear as day. Clear as day. So I realized that I wasn't going to buy the ticket, and I had to rely upon the Lord. For all that is in the world and the ways of the world are the lust of the flesh. Can't even go to a movie anymore. Can't even go to a movie anymore. It's filth. Such filth. And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The lust of the eyes. Again, I'm going to talk about the internet. The internet, the lust of the eyes. That's the world, not the kingdom. That's the world. That's why nothing's happening in your life, because you're lusting after pictures, you're lusting after whatever. I tell people the following instructions when they tell me that they have been looking on the internet. I tell people the following instruction. You just pretend that what you're looking at is your older sister or your younger sister or your mother. Would you want your mother to be on this internet like this? Would you want your sister to be on the internet like this? So that's one way to get rid of it. That's one way to get rid of it. People on the phone, they call me and they say, you know, I have a problem with pornography. Right on the phone, they tell me. And I say, you know, these are the things you need to do. When you are tempted to look at this garbage, pretend it's your mother or your sister. You'll stop. And then every day, get on your knees and ask the Lord to keep you pure. I'm telling you, today it's harder to be pure than it ever was. Because, you know, now with the internet, anyone can just click on what they want to click on. And, you know, you'll just go to hell. You'll just go to hell if you continue to walk that way. You need to get on your knees every day and ask the Lord to keep you from that. It's as simple as that. For that is of the world, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I'm telling you, we have nothing to be proud of. If we know who we are, if we have achieved anything, it is God who has done this through us by the power of the Spirit. It's not what I've done. I'm not going to tell God all the things I've done, because you know what? It doesn't mount to a hill of beans. But what God has done in me, what God has done through me, what God has done for me. I'm going to tell you something that happened at the Market Basket yesterday. I was getting fish for Father Joseph, and there was an argument between the boss and somebody else that worked for him. Not the boss of the whole store, but the boss of the fish market. And you know what? I just stood there, and I don't even know if I prayed. But 10 seconds later, the guy looks at me that was arguing, that's the boss, and he says, I'm all through arguing, because this man is here, and he gave me a cross, and God doesn't want me to be fighting. I never said a word. I never said one word. It was my presence. That amazing? That's totally amazing. I never said a word. You know, leave this guy alone. No, I never said a word. I didn't know what they were fighting about. And the only one that was fighting was the boss. And he says, I got over it now, because this man gave me a cross and this man is here. And I'm thinking, my Lord, that's you that he sees. It's not me. The world as we know it is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. And this is the will of God, that those who behold the Son have eternal life. This is the will of God. Those who give their life to Jesus have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. And no one who comes to me will I ever reject, it tells us in John 6:37. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of the Father who sent me that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but I should raise it up on the last day. This is the will of God. I'm on chapter 3 on 1 John, the letter to John, of John, to his community. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What kind of love, Lord, have you bestowed upon us? That we should be called sons of God, that we should be called children of God. Imagine, we are by grace what Jesus is by nature. By grace, we who believe and have been baptized, we are by grace the son and the daughter of God. By grace, Jesus is son of God by nature from all eternity. It says, behold the manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it did not know Jesus. Oh, yes. Listen to the next verse 2, chapter 3. Beloved, now we are God's sons. But it does not appear what we shall later be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most powerful scriptures in the whole Bible. I'm going to read it again. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. It's a gift. He's bestowed it on us. That we, you and I, should be called sons of God, daughters of God, children of God. Therefore, and when there's a therefore, you've got to know what it's there for. The world doesn't know us because the world didn't know him. The world thinks we're crazy. The world thinks we're crazy. But you know what? I am God's son. That is what the Father has bestowed on me through faith and baptism. I am a son of God, that I have the DNA of Jesus Christ through my body. Listen to the next line. Beloved, now, at this moment, we are sons of God. But it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. That's in the future. But we know that when he shall appear, that's Jesus in his second coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right now, how do we see him? As through a mirror darkly. But the Spirit of God glorifies Jesus. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to open these scriptures to us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to give us your presence, to give us your peace, to give us everything. Every man that has this hope in himself, that he's the son of God, he's the daughter of God by grace, purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. Whosoever commits sin or walks in sin transgresses against the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away sins, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He became a sin offering to take away our sins. You are already a son of God. You are already a daughter of God. You are already what Jesus is by nature. You are by grace. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. But when he comes, we shall be like him. My Lord, this blows my mind. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, there's going to be a day we're going to see him as he is. We see him now through faith. We see him now in the Holy Spirit. We see him now as in a mirror darkly. But one day we shall behold him face to face, and we shall behold him heart to heart by his grace. It will always be by his grace. You see, what happens at baptism and baptism, faith in baptism, is the greatest thing in the world. But you see, when you're older, you've got to receive Jesus. You've got to allow him to be your Lord and Savior. You can't say, well, I was baptized. No, baptism is a life. It's not only once when the mother took me down to be baptized. It is the life of grace. It is the life of faith. Already we are God's children now. Hallelujah. We are what Jesus is by grace. We are. He is by nature. Okay. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. How did he take away our sins? Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world by the cross. Grant us peace. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world by dying on the cross. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us peace. How did he take away our sins? By dying on the cross, by shedding his precious blood for us. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. So I don't know where you are in your faith life. Maybe you don't know Jesus any more than you know Mickey Mouse. Maybe you know Mickey a lot better because you've taken a stroll down to Orlando and you've gone to see Mickey with your children, but you don't know Jesus. Oh, Jesus wants you to become the son of the Father. He wants you to become the daughter of the Father. How do I do that? You just say, Lord, I'm desperate. Come into my life. Come into my life and save me. Forgive my sins. Save me and be Lord of my life. But you've got to mean it. You've got to mean it because the blood of Jesus takes away our sin. Then, if you're Catholic, get to confession to just go with all the garbage that you've been storing up for months and for years. Go to confession and just give it all to Jesus. Give it all to God. You are already God's son. Hallelujah. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. Glory to God. But we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him. What does that mean? Oh, my Lord, it's beyond my comprehension. It's beyond my comprehension. I'm talking about something so awesome that is beyond my comprehension. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Yes, for in him there is no sin. In Jesus there is no sin. Whoever abides in him sins not, walks not in sin. Whoever sins or walks in sins hath not seen him, neither have they known him. That's why we have the sacrament. We go under the blood when we go to confession. Under the blood, under the blood, under the blood. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Yes, he that committeth sin or walks in sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh yes, Jesus became a human being. The Word of God became a human being. The Son of God became a human being to do what? To save us from sin and to destroy the works of the devil. I tell you, the devil wants nothing to do with the crucified Jesus. I remember praying with this woman, and she had been cursed. Her food had been cursed, and we had some people praying the rosary as we were casting out these demons. But you know what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They had come fasting and praying, and when they were on, the other people were on the crucifixion, I said, in the name of Jesus, everything come out. And everything came out of her. Oh, she was spitting up, but she was saved from this demonic curse that day. That's what Jesus does. What does he do? It tells us here. He that commits sin is of the devil, he that walks in sin. And Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yes, Jesus came for that reason. Whoever is born of God does not walk in sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot walk in sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. I'm telling you, we are to love our brothers and our sisters. We are to love the Christians. I said it yesterday. No hating Protestants, Catholics. No hating Catholics, Protestants. We do not want to do the work of the devil, which is to hate and to tear down. You might not agree with all that I preach, but you know what? This is what I say. Take the good and throw away what you don't believe. Hang it on a hook, and if it's true, God will let you come to it. It's as simple as that. You might not believe all that I say. You know, when we pray our prayer in honor of our Blessed Mother, people say, you know what? You're worshiping Mary. I've never worshiped Mary in my life. Mary is my mother, and she was given to me on the cross by Jesus himself. Behold your mother. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. So you can't accept that right now? That's okay. Hang it on a hook. Just hang it on a hook and say, Lord, if this is real in your kingdom, I want it. If not, I'm just going to let it stay on the hook. Hang it on a hook. You know who taught me that? Marge Broccoli. She would say, honey, with her Texan accent, honey, you don't believe that? Just hang it on a hook. You'll come to it. You'll come to it. Hang it on a hook. We had no idea what she was talking about. We were just out of college, and you know, she was talking about hanging it on a hook, and we would smile and laugh even. You know, we're going to hang it on a hook. She says, there are so many people that do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hang it on a hook, honey. Hang it on a hook, and you'll come to it. It's amazing. Marge Broccoli taught me something that little did I know that this happened, I'm talking 40 years ago. Maybe, 40 years ago, or 37 years ago. Hang it on a hook. And that's what I tell you. You don't believe some of the things I say? That's okay. Hang it on a hook. If it's real, you'll come to it. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of God. What does it mean to be righteous in the Bible? To be righteous in the Bible is to walk by faith. And he does not love his brother. If we don't love each other, I'm going to tell you, what good are we? What good are we? You might not agree with everything I say, but you know what? You are bound to love me. I might not agree with everything you say and believe, but I am bound to love you. That's the gift that God says that we should love our brothers and our sisters. That's as simple as it can be. And the problem is the church has become hating rather than loving. You know, we hate evangelicals. I don't hate them at all. I thank God that God raised up evangelicals. If I were ever the bishop, you know what I would do? I would have invited Billy Graham to teach us how to evangelize. That's the gift that God gave Dr. Graham. And you know, if I were someone in authority, I would have Billy Graham come to my diocese. You know who did that? John Paul II. John Paul II had Billy Graham come to his church while he was a cardinal. Do you know that? Well, I do. You know, Google it. It's in Google. Google it. John Paul II invited Billy Graham to his church, and there was a great revival. I thank you for listening. I want to wish each one of you a blessed new year, my Lord. The years fly by. It seems like we just had the 4th of July, and now the years fly by. It's going to be, by God's grace, 2014, and I wish you a very blessed new year, that you would be righteous, and that you would walk by faith and not by sight, and that you would know who you are, that you are, by God's grace, a child of God, and what you shall later be has not yet come to light. But when he appears, it shall come to light, because we're going to see him as he is. I need to hear from people. I would love to pay our December bills, because that would be a wonderful thing. We're on every day at this time. You listen to me. I don't tell you how much to send me. And I don't tell you if you send me this, you're going to prosper. I'm not telling you that. God, let God do what he needs to do. But I need to hear from you. Bills for WROL and WEZE are over $100,000 now. So please write to me. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you'd like to give a gift by PayPal, www.inseason.net. 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 You are already God's son. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. Oh God, help us to walk as the children of the light. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.